Toshima. Toshima vehis alamto mehem. Remember, this was the halacha of Hashamas Aveda. Under ordinary circumstances, you are not allowed to be misalim. To be misalim means you can't hide or ignore the Aveda. To the contrary, you've got to pick it up and restore it to its rightful owner. But there is a drasha that tells us that pa'amim she'ato misalim. On occasion, you are allowed to be misalim. You are as allowed to close your eyes to the Aveda. When is that? Upon Shein Atomisale. How can that be? Im Hoyo Koyain Vihibebesa Kvarois. If he is a Koyain and the Aveda is to be found in the Besa Kvarois. So here he's faced with a dilemma. On the one hand, he's got a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. On the other hand, he has a prohibition of entering the Beis HaKvaris. And the question, therefore, is which one wins the day? Will he be obligated to go into the Beis HaKvaris and fetch the Aveda? Or will he have to stand outside the Beis HaKvaris in order not to become Tomei? So the Gemara tells us in this Braisa that if he's a Kohen in the Beis HaKvaris, then he should be Mis'alim. He should ignore the Aveda. The second example, if he is an Talmud Chacham, and it's not his honor, it's beneath his dignity to have to fetch this Aveda and walk through the street, which is something which is not Lefi Chvoidoi, then again he's allowed to ignore the Aveda. And the third case is, Oi. Malachtoi Merubah Mishal Chaveiroi. Or his malacha is more than his chaver. What does that mean? That means, as Rashi is going to explain to us, that even though there is a mitzvah in the Torah called Hashavas Aveda, but you are not mukhuyev to restore it to the owner at your personal expense. So imagine if you're a working man, and in order to return the owner, you're going to have to take the day off work because you're going to have to travel or find or whatever it takes, and it's going to be, you're going to lose now $1,000. So the original owner of this item has to fund that $1,000. Now, that's hardly going to be worth his while. If you're dealing with an Aveda that only costs $5. Here, the good news is I've restored your pen that cost $5, and the bad news is I took a day off work and it's going to cost you $1,000. So under that circumstance, then just leave it. Have a look at Rashi. Three Rashis because of the three cases. Vehi bebeis hakvoreis. What is in the beis hakvoreis? The Aveda. The Aveda is not prominent enough. It is not within his honor to restore it. Or the last halacha, Eishaisa Malachtoi Meruba, Shedmei Bitul Malachtoi. The value. Dmei from the word domin, the value of bitul malachtoi, of him having to cancel his work, liradoif achareho, to go and pursue it, right? Imagine it's a whole big balagan to go and fetch this Aveda. The value, the expense it would be to go and pursue this Aveda is yeserim, is more than al dmei ho Aveda. It would cost me $1,000 to go and pursue it, but the Aveda is only worth $100. So obviously, v'lo yirtzu habaylim, the baylim will not want lahoshiv loy to restore, to return, to have to remunerate yoiser mimasha meshiv lohem, more than what you are returning to him. What's the point of giving back his aveda, which costs $1,000, if it's now going to cost him $1,000? $100 is the aveda, and $1,000 of the expense incurred to go and restore it. V'nimtza hu mafsid. It will turn out, therefore, that he's actually incurring a loss. Hu mafsid is a hefsid. So obviously, the Bailim will not want you to do that. So that would be a third example of where you would be allowed to be misalim from the aveda. So here we have three cases, which are the exceptions to the rule. The rule is there is an issa d'oraisa of v'hisalamta. You're not allowed to leisucha leisalim. You cannot ignore the aveda. But if you're a kohen and the aveda is in the Beis HaKvaris, or if it is a zokin v'ein elafi chvoidoi, or if it will cost more to restore it, to return it more than the value of the original item. Now, obviously, of those three cases, it's the second one that we are most interested in at the moment, because the second case is a zokin ve'einoi lefi chvoidoi. So we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham, and it's considered beneath his dignity to restore this aveda. So what's the issue really at hand? This is Kavod HaBrius. And we are waiving an issa or a mitzvah d'oraisa for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. And this has been our theme, the whole Amud. Surely we said you're only allowed to waive an issa d'rabbanon for the sake of Kavod HaBrius, but not an issa d'oraisa for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. And every example that we mentioned until now, even though we thought it was a deraisa, but it turned out to be a derabbanan. But this definitely is a deraisa, so therefore this is a huge question. V'hisalamta leisucha leisalem is definitely a posuk in the Chumash, and there's no way that that could be explained to be a mere derabbanan. So it would seem to be that even a deraisa can be waived for the sake of Kavod HaBrius. That does not fit in with the principle that we've learned until now. Says the Gemara, Lekach ne'emar v'hisalamto. That's why it's written v'hisalamto, to teach us that you may ignore the aveda in the above three cases. Why amai leima ein chochma v'ein tvuno v'ein eitzol l'neged Hashem? Why don't we invoke the principle of Ein Chachma? No shtick. You cannot outsmart the Rabbeinu Shalom. Finished. If there's a mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, why are we so concerned with the issue of Kavod HaBrius, even at the expense of a mitzvah Do'iraisa? Says the Gemara, no. Shani Hosam. There is different. That really is an exception to the rule. Why? Diksiv v'hisalamta mehem, quote unquote. Because there it is specifically written in the Torah that they may hide from the aveda. So if I've got a special posuk in the Torah that teaches me that you may do this, then fine. So under that particular circumstance, apparently the Torah is telling you that yes, Kavod HaBrius is more important. But don't make that the general rule. The general rule is that Kavod HaBrius only knocks out a derabbanan, not a deraisa. What will you ask? But here we have a case where it knocks out a deraisa. That's true, but here the Torah specifically wrote it, so that's an exception to the rule. So what's the obvious follow-up question? The obvious follow-up question is, so let that become the rule. If the Torah stipulates in at least one place, namely Hashavas Aveda, that Kavod HaBrius is more important to us than anything else, even at the expense of a mitzvah d'oraisa, so why can't we learn from there that that now becomes the general rule? Why are you telling me that? No, the general rule is that deraisas are not waived, and this is the exception. Who told you it's the exception? Maybe it's the rule. Says the Gemara, veligmar mino, question mark. Why can't we derive from it? Veligmar, like the word Gemara. Let's learn from it, says Rashi. Venigmar mino, let's learn from over here, from Asharas Aveido, legabe kelayim. Why can't we learn from Hashavas Aveda to Kilayim? How did our whole sugya begin? Our whole sugya began that if somebody finds himself in the street and he suddenly realizes he's got shatnas, he has Kilayim in his beged, he has to remove the begodim, even at the expense of Kavod Abrius. So that's when we were being taught for the first time the rule of Ein Chochma ve'Ein Eitza ve'Ein Tvuno Neged Hashem, but at least a da'iraisa cannot be waived for the sake of Kavod Abrius. Why not? Why can't we learn from Hashavas Aveda to Kilayim, that in the same way as Hashavas Aveda is waived, why can't Kilayim also be waived? Says Rashi, v'nigmar mino legabe Kilayim da'omron. We said, poishton, you've got to remove those clothes, afilu bashuk, even in the marketplace, which means you'll have to compromise on Kavod Abrius. Why indeed is that the case? Why don't we learn from Hashavas Aveda? Let Hashavas Aveda now be the precedent for the rest of the Torah. How do you know that the general rule is that the Doiraisa wins? And Hashavas Aveda is the exception to the rule. Maybe Hashavas Aveda should in fact become the rule. Such that if you'd ask me now, what's the halacha of Kilayim? I'm in the middle of the town square and I suddenly realize that I've got Kilayim in my begodim. Why don't I say, I learned from Hashavas Aveda that Kavod Abrius waives all, even a mitzvah d'oraisa? That's the question. Says the Gemara, a famous answer. Isura m'moina loy yalfina. Literally translated, you cannot learn the halachas of Issa from the halachas of Mamoin. What does that mean? Hashavas Aveda is an issue of mamon, it is a financial issue. Your Aveda, my Aveda, it's an issue of finance. Kilayim is not a question of mamonis, it's a question of Issa V'Heta. We always consider Issa V'Heta more stringent than the issue of mamon. So therefore, you cannot extrapolate the halachas of Kilayim from the halachas of Hashavas Aveda. Yes, you have a great precedent in the Torah that Kavod Abrius even waives a d'oraisa, but only in the case of Mamoin. You cannot say that the same would be true as well in the case of Issa. So Kilayim, which is not a question of Mamon, it's a question of Issa. We go back to the first principle, which is Kavod Abrius does not waive a d'oraisa. Says Rashi, two words, Memoina, Kal Me'isura is considered more lenient than Issa, which means at this stage of the game, if we would have to sum up and we would ask ourselves the question, how seriously do we consider Kavod Abrius? Can it knock out a d'oraisa? And the answer is one word, it depends. In the case of Mamoin, yes, it can, like in Hashavas Aveda. In the case of Issa, no, it can't, like in the case of Kilayim. But in the case of Mamoin, like Hashavas Aveda, Kavod Abrius is in fact knocking out a d'oraisa. So here you have somebody who's a zokin, ve'enoy lefi chvoidoy. It is beneath his dignity to have to transport this animal, for example, through the street. Therefore, the issue of kavadah briyos knocks out the mitzvah d'oraisa of hashavas aveda, but capital B, that's only because we are dealing with issues of mamon. But where we talk about kilayim and a beged, or all the other discussions that we've spoken about until now on this omud of tumah and koyanim, etc., etc., those are different. Over there, the issue at hand was not mamon. So when you had a koyan jumping over the orim, or when you had somebody walking through a field after a bais, after a levaya, where there the issue was of a kohen coming tomei, there were no issues of momoin whatsoever. The issue was entirely issa veheta. So there the first rule applies, which is kavod abrius cannot knock out a deiraisa, only a derabonon. If, however, you're dealing with momoin issues like hashavas aveda, then it would seem to be that kavod abrius can in fact knock out a deiraisa. Says the Gemara, Toshema, Vela Achoisoi. Now, in order to understand what this Gemara is talking about, we have to learn a lengthy Rashi, which is pretty much repeated in Tosfos. La Achoisoi is a pasuk written in Parashas Nosoi in the context of the nozir. Like the kohen, the nozir is also somebody who is not allowed to become tomei. But like every good rule, there is an exception. When is he allowed to become tomei? For a mace mitzvah. As we know, a mace mitzvah, even a kohen gadol is allowed to become tomei for. So there's a dead body who is not being attended to. There are no relatives. Nobody's going to look after the dead body. So even a kohen or a kohen gadol or a nozir may and must deal with the dead, even though it'll mean they're becoming tomei. Now, with that introduction in mind, let's immediately see Rashi. What does the word la'achoisoi come to teach us? Now, tell me more, says Rashi. Where's this word la'achoisoi written? What's the context? What's the context? So Rashi now fills us in on the whole context. Says Rashi, V'la'achoisoi ma Talmud loima, says Rashi, benozir ksiv. So now we know the context. This is a pasuk written with reference to a nozir. And it says, quote, unquote, kol yemei haziroi lashem, all of his days of being a nozir to Hashem, al nefesh meis, for a dead soul, lo yovo, he may not come, quote unquote. There's another way of saying that all his days of Nazirus, he may not become Tommy. A nefesh meis, he may not come in contact with a Tommy body because he is a Nazir. How long for? Until termination of his Nazirus. V'somich lei, and written in close proximity, the somich, from the word somoch, close. Close to it is written, quote unquote, la'oviv, his father, uleimoi, his mother, la'ochiv, la'choiso, his brother and his sister, loy yetame lohem, he may not become tomei for them either. So we are treating a nozir so severely, it's like a Kohen Gadol. What is the difference between a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol in these halachas? Both the Kohen Hediot and the Kohen Gadol, are not allowed to become Tomei for a dead body. But are they allowed to become Tomei for the seven closest relatives, which is father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, and wife? The answer is a Kohen Hediot may indeed deal with the dead in the case of the closer seven relatives, but a Kohen Gadol may not. So the Torah is teaching us that the Nozir is considered like the Kohen Gadol, or at least he has similar halachas to the Kohen Gadol, which means he cannot become Tomei for a Nefesh Mace, even if it is one of the seven closest relatives. Now, here comes the question. Rashi just brought us two psukim. Pasuk number one, it says, Al Nefesh Mace lo yovoi, you may not come into contact with the Nefesh of a Mace. Pasuk number two, it says, do not become Tomei for a brother, sister, etc., etc. Why is that second Pasuk necessary? After all, you have already told me that he may not become Tomei for a Nefesh Mace. And unless you stipulate otherwise, the assumption would therefore be you cannot become Tomei for any Nefesh Mace, period. So why then must the Torah spell out for us, La'oviv, Le'imoy, La'ochiv, La'achoysoy, you cannot become Tomei. You've already told me you can't become Tomei for anybody. That's the question. Says Rashi, Dahakulu, surely all of them, meaning all of these relatives, Bichlal, they were all included in, quote unquote, Al Nefesh Meis Loi Yavoi, close quote. The Torah says, Al Nefesh Meis Loi Yavoi. So surely all of the relatives would be included in that general statement. So the question therefore comes, V'loma Yotsu, question mark. What does it mean, V'loma Yotsu? They were all included in one large general rule. So V'loma Yotsu, why did they leave the rule, as it were, to get special individual mention? They were all included. I think we've given this moshel in the past. Imagine I say to you, you can come into my house and you can open the fridge and you can take from the fridge absolutely anything you want. An apple, a pear, an orange. Well, that's a very difficult statement. Because if you've said you can take anything you want, then that includes an apple and a pear and an orange. So why would it be necessary to stipulate afterwards an apple or a pear or an orange? That was already included in the initial general invitation to take any food from the fridge. So once you have a klal, why would you need some protim afterwards? This is what's going on over here. That's the question. We have a general rule which says, do not become tomei to nefesh meis, which we will l'chayra correctly assume means any nefesh meis, including your relatives. So why does the Torah then need to go and stipulate aviv, imoy, etc., etc.? That's the question mark. V'loma yotsu. Why did they leave the rule to get special individual mention? So the Braisa, and Rashi's filling us in on the Braisa. All of this is an introduction until we're going to get to the word la'achoyse. It must be that every word, la'oviv, le'imoy, etc., etc., is teaching us a halacha that we would not otherwise have known. That must be the only answer, because if it's not teaching anything to us, then why in the world was it mentioned? Says Rashi, La'oviv, quote unquote. Let's deal with this one by one. Why is La'oviv mentioned? Again, he was included in the first pasuk of Nefesh Meis. So why is the Torah says, don't become Tomei for your father? Obviously, you've told me everybody. prat lemeis mitzvah, comma. When the Torah spells out the word Aviv, because it's an extra word, we can learn an extra halacha. And what is the extra halacha? Yes, you cannot become Tomei to your father, but that comes to exclude a meis mitzvah. Your father is obviously not a meis mitzvah because you're the relative. But if you have a meis mitzvah, somebody for whom there's nobody to attend the dead, then the nozir is allowed and obligated to become Tomei. So the extra word la'oviv teaches you this extra halacha. But what? Remember, if it would have been a general rule, imagine you just have the first pasuk. If you'd only have the first pasuk where it says he should not become Tomei for a nefesh mace. So what would we have said then about a mace mitzvah? L'chaya, that's included. It would be awesome. Because the Torah has made a general rule without any exceptions. Do not become Tomei for a nefesh mace, period. So how on earth would I have known that a mace mitzvah is an exception? So that's why the Torah went out of its way, as it were, to write the extra words, the seemingly unnecessary word of le'oviv, which means the Torah is emphasizing you may not become Tomei even to close relatives like your father, but a mace mitzvah, who is nobody's father, you may become Tomei for. That's halacha number one. Next word in the pasuk, le'imoi, quote unquote, ma talmud lo'ima. Now let's move on to the next relative in the pasuk. We've dealt with le'oviv. What about le'imoi? Why does the Torah say, don't become Tomei to your mother? This cannot be teaching you the meis mitzvah rule because we've already been taught the meis mitzvah rule with the first word in the pasuk, la'aviv. So le'imoi, quote unquote, ma talmud lo'ima. What is it coming to teach you? Mishum meis mitzvah. Loi itzterich. It's not necessary to teach you the rule of meis mitzvah. Why not? Because we've already learned that. Da mila oviv, quote unquote, nafka. We've already derived the meis mitzvah exception from the word la oviv. So what on earth can le'imoi be there to teach you? What's left? V'dor shilei b'sifri. So if you look in the Sifri, there the drasha is made and it teaches us the following. Lilmoy to teach us. She'im hoyon nozir ze koyein. Imagine this person was not only a nozir, but he's also a koyein. Oh, that's a different case we've never dealt with till now. He has a double whammy issa in becoming Tomei. He's got two separate reasons why he can't become Tomei. Number one, he's a Nozi. Number two, he's a Kohen. Dahavu oleho shtei kedushois. He has on him two separate holinesses. One, as a result of being a Kohen. Second, as a result of being a Nozi. Now, let's ask ourselves the question. If somebody is a Kohen and also a nozir, so he cannot become Tomei. Is he allowed to become Tomei for a meis mitzvah? So what would you tell me? Obviously, yes, we've already been taught that from La'aviv, but that's not true, because La'aviv was only talking about a regular nozir who has one kedusha. But maybe somebody who has two kedushas, maybe he cannot become Tomei for a meis mitzvah. Says Rashi, to have all our shtei kedushois, comma, afhu, nonetheless, him as well, le'imoi hu deloi yitame. That's what the Torah is stressing. He cannot become Tomei for his mother, with the inference being, avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah, period. So yes, We are being taught the Mace Mitzvah rule again. Why do we need the same rule twice? The answer is it's not the same rule. The La'aviv word taught me somebody who is a Nozir. The Le'imoy extra word tells me somebody who's got a double Kedusha, a Kohen, and also a Nozir, where I wouldn't necessarily have known that he's allowed to become Tommy for a Mace Mitzvah. That's why I need the extra word to tell me that even though he's wearing two hats, he's got a double Kedusha, it nonetheless is mutter for him to become Tommy for a Mace Mitzvah. Okay? So La'aviv and Le'imoy have both been explained. So we move on. La'achiv, quote unquote, for his brother, Ma Talmud Lo'ima. What on earth can be left in the drawer? We know all the halachas, l'chayr. What's possibly left? The answer is, there's one case that's not been mentioned. Ma Talmud Lo'ima. What is that teaching us? The answer is, Hare Shahaya Kohen Gadol Vehu Nozir. So that's not just any old two Kedushas. That's two super Kedushas. What's the halacha? If Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, is also a Nozir, can he become Tommy to a Mace Mitzvah? So don't tell me that I learned that from La'aviv or Le'imoy, because both of those Nazirim are on lower levels of Kedusha. So maybe that's why they're allowed to become Tommy for a Mace Mitzvah. But a Kohen Gadol who is on a very high level of Kedusha, allied with the fact that he's a Nazir, who says he can become Tommy to a Mace Mitzvah? That's why we're taught Afu, him as well, La'ochiv lo'y yitamei. He cannot become Tommy to his brother, but again, we make the drasha, Avol metamei le'meis mitzvah, period. All of this Rashi, quoting a Sifri, is by way of introduction. Finally, we have arrived at the magic word. What's next in the pasuk? La'achoisai. And now we really are stuck. Why are we stuck now? Because we've dealt with the Nozir, we've dealt with a Nozir who's a Kohen, we've dealt with a Kohen Gadol who's a Nozir, and we were taught three times that all of them are allowed to become Tomei for a Mace Mitzvah. So what on earth are you going to learn from La'achoisai? There is nobody who is more Kadosh than a Kohen Gadol Nozir. So don't tell me that La'achoisai teaches me anything about Mace Mitzvah. We've already been taught that any possibility out there, you can become Tommy for a Mace Mitzvah. So what is Achoisai teaching you? Now, before we continue with the end of the Rashi, go back into the Gemara. Toshma, says the Gemara, V'la Achoisai ma Talmud Loima, V'la Achoisai, quote unquote, ma Talmud Loima, question mark. Now, had we not had Rashi, we would obviously have no idea what the Gemara was asking. But now we have Rashi, so we understand. When the Gemara asks, what do we learn from the Achoisai? What it means is, I know what we learn from La'aviv, and Le'imoy, and La'ochiv. But when I get to that fourth word, Le'achoisai, we're stuck. Ma Talmud Lo'ima. The answer is, Hare Shahoya Hoylech Lishchoit Es Pischoi. What happens if somebody was on his way to Shecht his Korban Pesach or Volamul Es Benoi to circumcise his son? What's unique about those two mitzvahs? Both of them are the only mitzvahs in the Torah where there is a chiyuv of kores. If somebody does not shecht the Pesach, if somebody does not do bris milah, he is chayev kores. This is extremely severe. So what happens if he's on the way? V'shoma shemeis loy meis. And on the way to doing these mitzvahs, he hears that unfortunately, Meis loy meis, a close relative of his has died. Yochol yachzor v'yitmo. So I might have thought he should stop his journey, and he should go back and become Tommy and deal with the relative. The answer is that no. Omrat loy yitamo, he should not do so. Why not? Because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, or of circumcising his son, both of which are chayvei krisus, are considered so severe that you should not become Tommy. Do not attend the dead. Rather, continue with your pursuit of Pesach and Mila. Ah, Yochos, I would have thought then, Kashem she'ene metame lohem, kach eino metame lemeis mitzvah. So I would have thought if you're on the way to the Pesach or the Mila and you're not allowed to become Tommy to a close relative, so maybe for the same reason you cannot become Tommy for a meis mitzvah. Talmud loyma v'la achoysoi. This is what the achoysoi pasuk teaches me, that you make a drasha. Li achoysoi hu de'eino metame. Yes, you cannot become Tommy for your sister. Avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah. So we thought there can't possibly be any option left of meis mitzvah. It's not true. This is the fourth time we were told that even though under ordinary circumstances you cannot become Tommy, but for a meis mitzvah you can. Why? Even though you're on the way to doing a Pesach or a Mila, which is chayve krisus, and you cannot become Tommy to your own seven relatives, but for a meis mitzvah, you can. That's the end of the braisa, and I see we're running out of time, so Be'ez Hashem, we'll have to continue the Rashi and the Sugya till the end, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow.
Shikoyach.